This show contains language and themes that may be considered offensive to some. Please use your best judgment about whether or not you should be listening. Sci-Fi Noise. I'm your host, Derek Howard. Sci-Fi Noise can be found at deliberatenoise.com/sci-fi, S-E-I-F-I. If you'd like to send feedback, you can email me at sci-fi@deliberatenoise.com. That's S-C-I-F-I @deliberatenoise.com. Or you can call the audio comment line at 734-331-0772. I finally finished watching the last, I'm going to say, 7 or 8 episodes of Stargate Universe. And all I can say, once again, is that the people who decided not to watch it because it was too much like Battlestar Galactica, or it wasn't enough like Stargate SGI and Atlantis, you guys really, really missed some good stuff. That was those last few episodes were especially great, if you ask me. I'm really going to miss this show. As you know, I thought it was the best sci-fi show on television, especially since especially since Doctor Who has been not very good this past season. And I know that there are people who are going to jump on my back about it, but for me, Stephen Moffat was better when he was in charge of individual episodes. Now that he's in charge of the whole thing, there's just something missing to me. I don't know. I know other people are enjoying it, and more power to you. In fact, as I want to say, when somebody likes something I don't, congratulations. So there you go. If you like this season, congratulations. Although the second part of the Rebel Flesh, no, that was the first part. The second part of that two-part story, which is like Forever People, that was pretty good. That was probably the best one. But I'm not here to talk about the third best sci-fi show. I'm about to talk about the outgoing number one show, and that's Stargate Universe. Bruce Rosenberger and a bunch of friends on Facebook and Twitter have all said that it ended on a cliffhanger. I don't think it, the show ended on a cliffhanger. I'm not going to tell you exactly what they did because I really want you to watch it. If you have it sitting on your DVR like me for so long because you're just bummed that it was ending, they did it right. You know, they did respect to the characters, to the situation, and most of all to the viewers, you know, because there are a lot of season finales, series finales that do not respect the viewer. You know, they just create something so that the viewer will want to see more, you know. So the viewer, if it's a season finale, they make something so that the viewer will want to come back, you know, for one more episode. And usually their cliffhangers are such crap, you know. I mean, they'll set up an almost impossible situation, and then people will get out of it just by talking to someone else. You know, it's really irritating. You know, the cop will be framed for murder, and the team that he's working with. Well, and I'm thinking of Hawaii Five-0. I tell you the truth, this is the season finale for Hawaii Five-0. Steve McGarrett was and I just, you know, this is just such a cliche. Steve McGarrett had been framed for a murder, and his team had to come after him. And even though he's protesting his innocence, they capture him at the very end, and that's the cliffhanger, that he's being drug off to jail when I think we all know that that's not what's going to happen. All right, sorry about that. I had to step away. And I do not remember what the point I was making, so hopefully I finished making it because I'm about to move on. The last couple of episodes, especially, I mean, first off, I just want to say, the last 8 episodes, once they came back from their little hiatus, which I hate those hiatuses, you know, and I guess that at the time they knew that they were going to be canceled, so they had to lead up to something to end the story, okay? And all along, they were dropping plot points and little things that they would need to wrap the series up. And the way they did it was just, it was really, I just want to say brilliant, you know? Because even though you could see certain things being put in place, you didn't know how exactly they were going to fit in, you know? And I really appreciated that, you know? That's what I was going to say. Because it showed that they actually did some planning, you know? It showed that they actually were thinking, okay, you know what? We're not going to go out dumb, you know? They were lost across space, you know. And quite frankly, maybe possibly time. I kind of doubt that, but it's possible. Anyway, they threw a really huge red herring at us, you know. Where it's like, there's a way that they could get home. Here's the way that they could get home. And then they didn't use that. You know, I'm not going to tell you what they use and why they didn't use it, but I'm just going to say that I thought that that was going to become a factor in the end, you know, and it wasn't. I just thought, wow, okay, that kind of threw me, you know, and I even mentioned it in the end, you know, but like I said, they decided not to go the Voyager route. And if I'm remembering how Voyager ended, I apologize now for all you Star Trek people who are going to start whining, but that's not what happened. But it just seemed to me that Voyager was trapped in another quadrant. They couldn't figure out how to get home, and then all of a sudden they pulled the Deus Ex Machina out of their ass and ended up going home. But at the same time, Voyager had, what, four or five, maybe even as many as 6 seasons to tell the stories that they wanted to tell. So it didn't feel abbreviated. It didn't feel like it was forced. It just felt like, oh, God, thankfully, our national nightmare is now over. You know, it's one of those deals. It's like, okay, we're done. We're done. We're done. We're done. We're done. We are not going to come back to this this group of stories. We've told all the ones we can tell. We're done. We're done here. We're finished. Stargate Universe didn't end like that. And like I said, I really appreciate that. They left the door open for more stories. But they didn't really leave us hanging, if that makes sense, because you kind of know that the character that was left at the end is going to figure a way out, you know? And to me, it was kind of appropriate that the last 3 characters who were left standing were the ones who were left standing, you know? And then when it got down to the final guy, it was just like, yeah, yeah, you know? And oh man, it's just, the show was, I don't know, I guess you could say that it didn't fit in well with the rest of Stargate. However, now that Stargate's done, I'm going to go back and I'm going to watch Stargate Atlantis before I go back to finishing up Stargate SG-1. Because I'm only in like the beginning of season two of SG-1, and I'm just not feeling it. I don't know how the hell this thing got, you know, two spinoffs and a bunch of spinoff movies, because right now I don't see how it made it past season one. The only thing I can think of is that it was in syndication. No, I do not know. But man, this is tough to watch. But I'm gonna go back, you know. Because I originally watched Army of Darkness before I watched what was the other one? Evil Dead 2, and then I watched Evil Dead, which is kind of how I watched Firefly, you know, because I originally watched Firefly a long time ago. I watched the first couple of episodes, and it just didn't grab me, you know. Plus, I think it came out on Friday night. I had better things to do, so I was one of those people who helped contribute to its demise, because I watched it and then I just dropped it. But I watched the movie. I watched Serenity, and then I watched the television show. I went back and watched the television show. Actually, you know what? I think I did it even more different. I think I watched Serenity, read the comic book that bridged between Firefly and Serenity, and then I watched Firefly. So, sort of like with Evil Dead, I went backward in time. And sort of, if you ever read the Dragon Riders of Pern books, as the series of books that Anne McCaffrey put out, you went back in time to a much more technologically advanced state, you know, because it started off, you know, if you read the whole thing, if you only read the Dragon Riders of Pern books, then it seems like a fantasy book. But once you read all of them, and a lot of people don't, they just stop with the fantasy stuff, and they don't realize that her later so-called science fiction books are all related, you know. And it tells the origins of all the things, of all the three sisters and the thread and all that kind of stuff. It reveals everything, you know. And so if you read those books in reverse order, then you actually read them in chronological order, if that makes sense. But you know, it's kind of like what Lucas did, you know, because Lucas started off in the future and then he went back and told the origin of Darth Vader. Although, quite frankly, I wish he had done it different. First off, I wish the stories were different for the prequel, but I wish that he had gone back even further. Instead of like 30 or 40 years or whatever, however many years he went back to tell those first three prequels, I think he should have gone back even further. I think he should have gone back, you know, 100 years, and not used any of the characters. You know, maybe R2-D2 and C-3PO, but he didn't really need to use Obi-Wan Kenobi in my book, in my estimation. You know, just like if he ever decides to change his mind and do the later three, because I always thought it was supposed to be a series of nine movies, you know, but he only came out with three, and then he came out with the other three, and so to me, that tells me, okay, yeah, he still has three more in the book. You know, he has still three more that he can come out with that I would really dig, you know. And hopefully he won't set those like 20 years in the future or some craziness like that, and that he will go further, much further into the future. But it's the whole like going backwards thing that I kind of like. One of the best parts about this season of Doctor Who is what do they say? That the Doctor's life is going in one direction, but River Song is going in another. So they kind of they have like kind of an intersection. I really, really dig that. You know, she's time traveling one direction, he's time traveling in another. Oh, now we all know how I hate time travel, but they did a time travel storyline in a couple of episodes at the end of Stargate Universe. And I'm going to tell you right now, one of them made me tear up on a couple of occasions, you know. And if you've seen it, I'm not going to spoil it for people who didn't, but all I'm going to say is the scene about ALS really tore me up, you know. I mean, oh, man. If you want to talk about this in email, go ahead and email me. Sci-fi at deliberatenoise.com. And, you know, we can talk about it. Spoiler free. Well, not spoilerific, I should say, in email. And who knows, if I get enough people who want to talk about it, then maybe I'll even give you guys your own private podcast. You know, one that's not in the feed, one that I just mail to you. Because I have done that in the past. I just want to let you know. I have done private podcasts in the past. So, so Stargate Universe was just really good, you know. I know a lot of people who to this day will still say that it was Stargate Galactica, you know, because it looked like Battlestar Galactica, the way they were shooting things and, you know, the subject matter. But if you really think about it, the big difference between Stargate Universe and Battlestar Galactica is that Stargate Universe had a sense of humor. They weren't jokey. There wasn't ridiculous like SG-1, like at least the episodes of SG-1 that I saw. But it wasn't so depressing like Battlestar Galactica. You know, there's no way in hell I could watch a marathon of 8 Battlestar Galactica episodes because it would just make me want to, you know, slice wrists. I mean, it's just, you know, and I am not making light of suicide, but that is a seriously depressing show. Stargate Universe isn't like that. Stargate Universe knew when to use humor, right? I mean, these people were in a worse situation, if you ask me, than the people on Galactica. Because people on Battlestar Galactica, they knew their world was gone. They tried, actually, and to some way succeeded in creating a new civilization, one that was just mobile, you know, one that was just continued to move. So they knew that they were desperate. They had to find somewhere to go. With the crew of Destiny, they knew that they weren't going to go home, that they could not go home. They had no home. They were on the ship, and that was it for them, you know? They could get on the stones, and they could communicate back on Earth, but that was only temporary. So to me, I think that was even worse, you know? Ugh. Yeah, I mean, it's one thing when you have no choice, and it's another thing to keep seeing how your life, to see glimpses of your life every now and then, knowing that you can't be fully a part of it. So I don't know, you know. And another thing is they, when Battlestar Galactica was dealing with the war against the Cylons, and when they were dealing with basically, like I said, rebuilding their civilization in space nomadically, and the politics of all the different tribes, that was cool, you know, but they seemed to spend a lot of time on philosophy and religion, and I know some people thought, oh wow, this was a great what's the word I'm looking for, alternative to the hell. Oh, sorry about that, hold on a second. Alright, I'm just up to the level. Alright, sorry, it's the desktop that I'm sitting next to is one of my hard drives is making that high pitch whining noise, so I apologize. But as I was saying, some people saw it as a good alternative to sci-fi shows in the past. And, you know, when they first started talking about the, you know, basically religion's place in science fiction, I thought it was, yeah, that is kind of new. But they just kept harping on it, and it became like a focal point, right? And it turned out that the reason that the Cylons were trying to kill him was some sort of religious thing. And I'm like, oh, just get to the point. We get it. And, you know, and what started off as unique and an alternative to the way storytelling was done in the past simply became overbearing and pompous and pretentious, right? And although I didn't have the problems that a lot of other people had with the ending of Battlestar Galactica, one thing that really did kind of bug me was the way they Tony Soprano the whole Starbuck thing. And if you don't know what I mean, it's like if you ever saw the ending of The Sopranos, they never said definitively what happened with Tony Soprano. And I know why they didn't. The reason they didn't is because they were the creators of The Sopranos wanted to make a Sopranos movie, and they couldn't just wrap things up, you know. So they didn't want to just wrap things up, and they wanted people to keep talking about the ending of The Sopranos. And look, was it 6 years later, and I'm still talking about it. But the fact of the matter is that to me showed disrespect to the people who had stuck with the show up to the very end, you know. And I realize that this is an HBO show, and when HBO shows are heading towards a definitive ending, they get rid of a lot of characters, right? They just start dropping like flies. For example, look at the last season of The Wire. You know, all the many deaths of big characters up until then. You know, look at the last few episodes, you know, of Oz, and of I guess 6 Feet Under. I don't know. I got quit watching 6 Feet Under in the middle of the second season. But you know, same thing with The Sopranos. They just started getting rid of characters, you know. And that's, to me, yeah, you want to see an ending to their story, but at the same time, you know, to do what they did with Tony Soprano was a big F you to the people who are watching. And with Starbuck, that was also a big F you, you know. You know, and at first it didn't bother me because I was of the opinion that, yeah, you know what, something should remain a mystery. But at this, but you know, and then as I stopped thinking about it, it's like, you know what, from a storytelling point, the whole Starbuck thing was just lazy storytelling. It was lazy writing. They kill her, they bring her back, they find the body, then she just disappears. And it's just like, what? I mean, she was Deus Ex Machina. You know, she's the one who did this and did that, and everybody was like, what the hell? She was the one who was moving the story in such a, now that I, you know, I'm not one who sits there and dissects each episode as I'm watching a show, right? I will wait for the story to be finished before I will think back on the whole thing, you know. And I guess that's why I just came to the conclusion that Battlestar Galactica really was not as good as I thought it was, you know. And I don't know, maybe I'll get to that point with Stargate Universe, but as of right now, the two seasons of Stargate Universe were a lot better than what the four or five seasons of Battlestar Galactica. It didn't have a definitive ending like Battlestar Galactica, but the voyage there was a lot better. In fact, there's a, when you watch it, pay very close attention to things that Rush says. There's a conversation, I believe, that Rush has with Chloe that really, you could tell that that was like the frustration of the writers and the people like me who thought that it was the best show on, the best sci-fi show on television, you know. Just listen to that. Listen, you know, there's some, I hate using the word meta, but yeah, there's some meta things that are going on there, you know. Rush on several points are talking. He's talking for me. So there, listen to it for that point. But yeah, another thing that I noticed about the ending of Voyager, which I don't remember all that well, the ending of Star Trek The Next Generation, which I don't remember all that well, the ending to Star Trek Deep Space Nine, which I don't remember much, the ending of Battlestar Galactica, they all have one thing in common, one thing that they did not have in endings like Babylon 5 didn't have this problem, and neither did Stargate Universe. And that's it, their finales, the last episode that tells the story. And I'm not including the very last episode of Babylon 5, because to me that was like an epilogue. I'm talking about the one before the last aired episode. It didn't have any filler, you know. The last episode of Stargate Universe, they had some talking back and forth, and it was, like I said, there was some meta stuff, but it didn't feel like filler. There was a lot of filler in the ending of all those different Star Trek series, and in Battlestar Galactica. There's like a lot of filler, you know. It's like it's kind of like they got like 90 minutes or 2 hours to tell a story that they really only needed like an hour to tell. But they were just saying, yeah, okay, let's do it. Or if they had like an hour to tell their story, they really could have wrapped it up in half an hour. You know, it's just something like that. It's just, I don't know. All those endings seemed sort of forced. But the ending to Stargate Universe seemed natural. You know, maybe it's because they were writing it as a definitive season finale, so if they did, if possibly it could come back in another iteration, they didn't want to take everything off the table, right? It's not like I said, some of those HBO shows where they start killing off some of the popular characters, you know. It's like, hey, Omar coming, Omar's not around for the last few episodes, which, sorry if I spoiled some shit for you, but you know, you should have watched it years ago. Yeah, so it's just like, man, I'm really, really going to miss this show, you know. And it bums me out that a lot more people didn't have a lot greater appreciation for it. Thank you for listening, even with all these crazy interruptions, and I will be back soon with another episode. I'm going to